Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Good News Gathering. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out Good News Gathering at one of our Sunday services. Visit www.goodnewsgathering.org for service times and directions to our ministry center. Now let's join our guest teacher for today's lesson.
Success. What comes to mind when you hear the word success? How important is it to your life to be successful? What's the meaning of it? In America, how important is it to people to be successful in life? And what does success bring you and I? When you come in this morning, you were handed a bulletin and an outline, a white sheet of paper. If you would go ahead and take out that white sheet of paper with the holes punched in the side. And you will see at the top of that outline a box. And when I mention the word success, I would like for you to write down that box the first two or three things that come to your mind. If someone is successful here in America, what is it that makes them successful? Is it money? Is it fame and fortune? Whatever it is you think that makes someone successful, write two or three of those things that just pop into your mind and kind of keep them there as we go through this teaching today. Now, here in a moment, we're going to bring some pictures of successful people up on the screen. Some of you are going to know all of them. Some of you are going to know two or three. There might be a couple you don't recognize the pictures or the faces. You might recognize the names, but you may not know the faces. These people are all successful. The first one, it's going to come up. Most of you probably recognize Bill Gates, the Microsoft giant, one of the richest people in the world. The next one you'll probably recognize. If you don't, you've heard the name, Warren Buffett, a multi-billionaire who has made lots of money in the stock market and in investing, is one of the people that others go to for advice on money. So you probably recognize him. The next one, I'm sure, even if you're not any sports fan, you probably still recognize this person. The most recognizable, if not the most recognizable athlete in the past couple of generations, and Michael Jordan. Very successful person. Now even owns part or all of a NBA franchise. He was so successful. You might know all of those people and recognize them. The next one you may not recognize. This is Mother Teresa. You may have heard of Mother Teresa. You may have not have recognized Mother Teresa. You say, well, I don't remember hearing much about her. How successful was she? Well, Mother Teresa had a passion for children, for orphans. And she started an orphanage and started helping out children. And through her life, she helped countless, hundreds and thousands of young people. And there's ministries in several different countries now that are connected to what she started because she had a passion to help children out. The last person, Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker. Along with the help of her father, started in World War II helping Jews escape the Holocaust. She had a passion for people going into that, and so she started helping them escape the Holocaust. And she, in her turn, ended up in trouble and ended up in prison herself. You might say, well, I didn't recognize the last two. They're not real successful. I'm telling you, here's the thing. Today we're going to talk about who or how do we determine success. In America, now if America was to look at those five people, they're going to say the first two were definitely successful, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. And probably even Michael Jordan. They might look at these two ladies and say, I don't know if they're successful. But in God's eyes, who do you think is going to say was successful of those people? In God's eyes, he's going to say, Corrie ten Boom and Mother Teresa were successful people because they had a heart and a passion to do what they felt God called them to do. And that's what I want to get across today, is that success as we study this, what does it really mean to you and I? And what does it bring us? And where does it take us? Because see, I think in America and a lot of major countries in the world today, we've got the definition of success, the biblical success definition of success mixed up. Even as Christians, and I'll tell you, even at times in my life, I struggle with the success I think the world wants me to have with where God wants me to be and what he wants me to do on. I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that sometimes. The things I want to do and the things, the place I want to go and things I want to see. And God sometimes says, no, this is really where I want you to be and what I want you to do. So keep that in mind as we go through this. We're in the second week of our study on the prophets. And today we're going to study the prophet Jeremiah, who brought a message to God's people in a time when they really needed to hear it. Our focus verse for this lesson, which comes from Hebrews, is going to come up on our screens. Would you please recite this verse with me? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Let us pray. Father, we're here today to study our second week of the prophets, a study about Jeremiah. And in the world's view, they would say he wasn't successful. But in your eyes, he was doing exactly what you called him to do. So today, Father, may we look at this and study his life and apply it to ours. And may we leave here today knowing what success is in the terms of your word and being in your will. For ourselves and for our church and for our communities and for our country. That we might more ably serve thee through this and this study. And we truly give you the praise and the glory. And Lord, I just pray as we close this prayer that you remove me. As a prophet spoke to your people, I pray that your words are spoken for your people here today. None of mine, not one, but yours. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to thank all of you, those of you who are still studying your Bible and reading your Bibles every day, and those groups who are studying the Bible together in your life groups. And I know sometimes when you get into the Old Testament especially, you kind of get bogged down, and some of the prophets were writing at the same time, and they're the same story. Sometimes they're a little different in each book. But for us to fully understand God, we need to kind of understand the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was kind of who God was and who God is, as we study through that. So thank those of you. And if you haven't started, anytime you can jump in and start reading through the Bible this year and study that, because I think it's important for us to do that. Because I know in my personal life, if I take a day or two off without reading the Word and spending time in prayer, I can feel myself slipping away from God. So I need to keep myself in God's Word and in prayer. So the prophet Jeremiah, who was he? Well, Jeremiah was a prophet, and as J.D. said last week, a prophet was somebody who just brought God's word to his people. And that's what Jeremiah did. He was bringing the word of God to God's people. Now, he lived at a time when the nation of God's nation was split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. He lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, the northern kingdom had already fallen. Syria had come in and overtaken that country about 720 BC. So Jeremiah was called not just to speak to Judah, the nation he lived in. God said, I want you to speak to the nations. So he spoke also sometimes of Israel, because he said in one of the chapters, all faithless Israel and unfaithful Judah. He spoke of both of them. And if you read the end of Jeremiah, you'll see how he spoke to several different nations about what was going to happen to the nations. Jeremiah spoke for over 40 years. He prophesied. He was a prophet for God for 40 years. He served under five of the last kings of Judah up to the time, and he prophesied their destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. So Jeremiah prophesied from approximately 627 to 586 BC. So we're talking a time period around 600 years before Christ. And you'll find out in a couple of weeks, there was a 400-year period of silence where God really didn't speak. So we're ending towards the end of the nations being called and talked to, and that's where we're at. And Judah gets ready to fall here, which means both of the kingdoms had been taken into captivity or into exile. That's where we're at. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And I want you to see if you can relate to this, because if you can't relate to Jeremiah, it's hard for us to learn from Jeremiah. Jeremiah stood by and watched the nation, the country he loved, decline morally and spiritually. He watched them fall away from God, turn to other idols, turn to the wrong sacrifices. They wouldn't listen to God. They had no respect for God's word. And one of the kings in the Israel even got to the point where he sacrificed babies. So Jeremiah is seeing his nation fall apart spiritually and morally. Can you relate to that at all? Can you, as a Christian or even as a non-Christian, if you're today just checking this out, see a nation falling away from where God wants them to be, what God wants them to do? So in that respect, you and I can relate to Jeremiah's plight, what he was going through. The first thing I want to call your attention to and is the scripture. We're going to skip over that first one and go to the second one. And that is Jeremiah chapter 1, where he is called. And we'll get back to the other one. Because I think it's important for you and I to understand Jeremiah's calling in order to understand why he did and when he did it. It says here, before I was formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Get that? God says, Jeremiah, I called you. Even before you were born, I set you apart to do this very thing. Can you today honestly tell me, you know what God's called you to do? Do you have that calling in your life? But look what happens, and I've done this in my life, and maybe you have too. He says, oh, wait a minute, sovereign Lord. I don't even know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. He says, you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. But God says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. So right away, what does Jeremiah do? Well, God, you call me out, but wait a minute. I am too young. He's only probably, some scholars say, 20, 22 years old, very young, to be speaking to the nations. And I can't really talk that good. I'm not really eloquent in speaking. I'm here to tell you today, when God calls, God equips. If God calls you, He is going to equip you. God is not going to call you to do something and set you up to fail. He would not do that. If He calls you, He is going to equip you. And He's telling Jeremiah, it doesn't matter. I've called you. I've set you apart. You are going to do this thing for me. It's going to be okay. Now, God knew that he was going to be in prison and he would be flogged and put on house arrest, rejected several times. So He tells him in that first scripture in Jeremiah 16:2, you shall not take a wife for yourself, nor sons or daughters in this place. He says, it's going to be so difficult for you, don't even have a family, because what I'm about to call you into, you don't have time, you need to focus on this and what you're going to go through. So Jeremiah sacrifices because he knows what God is calling him to do. So right after Jeremiah gets called, he starts to speak and condemn and give the message that God has given him to give. And I think the best way for you to get the grasp of what Jeremiah was doing is to watch this short video.
They have grown fat and sleek. They know no bounds in deeds of wickedness. Jeremiah, I put my words into your mouth.
What are you doing? Mother. Jehoiakim. Mataniah. All of you! Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will let you dwell in this place.
So what Jeremiah was getting ready to do, his father hands him a knife. He's getting ready to do his first sacrifice in the temple. This was a huge honor. And his dad was so excited for his son to get to do his first sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar, that's how they come. We have Jesus who sacrificed himself for us. Back then, they sacrificed animals to cover their sins. So he's getting ready to do this. This is a huge honor for him to do this. And all of a sudden, God speaks to him. And Jeremiah has a decision to make, just like you and I do every day. He's got this decision. Does he go ahead and do what his dad and what his family so want him to do? Or does he say, wait a minute, God says you need to go speak to the people. So laying down the knife and handing it back to his dad is a huge deal. His dad is going to be devastated because his son doesn't get to. In fact, after this, a few minutes later, the king who he spoke to there says, you're welcome back, but Jeremiah, don't come back. Don't come back to the temple. So he starts right away. So he has a choice to make, and he makes the choice to do what he feels God has called him to do. Even though he knows what it's going to bring, he makes that choice. You and I have the same choice to make every day in our lives, to do what we feel God is calling us to do, or to do what sometimes the world wants us to do. He goes on to prophesy destruction. He says, tell them, in chapter 11, that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of the covenant. And J.D., if you were here last week, talked about how God set the covenants up with his people. This is what you are to do. If you do this, I will bless you and set you up as a great nation. And those kind of things. Well, they had fallen away from the covenant that's set up with God. So guess what? He says, you're cursed because you're not following and doing what God has commanded you to do. So this is what is going to happen. So he starts prophesying the destruction that would come to God's people because they weren't following where God needed them to be. But here's the good news for you and I. I don't care where you're at today, where you're coming from, where your life is right now. But in the midst of all of this, God promises restoration. Because he says in 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Because what happened 70 years after the exile come, which we'll get to in a minute, God promises that he would restore the people. You would come back, and you're going to find out in later prophets that they came back and rebuilt Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple and did all those things. He says there will be a time the people decide at this point to ignore God, to ignore the prophet Jeremiah and do their own thing. So he said, but there is going to be restoration. Come. He says, because I have plans. God's plan for his people was not for them to be put in exile. God's plan was for them to do what? To prosper. He says, that's my plans for you. And that's the plans he has for you and I. So here's the key. No matter where you're at in your life today, and I was there at one point in my life, you can be restored with God. God can bring restoration to our lives. No matter where we're at or what we've done. He says, even though you're going to falter, even though you're not going to hear Jeremiah, and your destruction is going to come, which Jeremiah is prophesying, you are going to be restored. So if you're here today, and you need restoration, you need to be restored, I'm here to tell you, with God, you can find that. You can find that. I know there's people this week, with Hope Over Heroin coming up, this week, there's going to be people whose lives are going to be restored with the hope that's going to be given them through Jesus Christ. The hope can be given. Now, here's the thing for you and I. If God can use Jeremiah, a young basically untrained man who says, I can't even speak that well, Father. If he can use Jeremiah to bring his message to not just Judah, but to the nations, think about this, to the nations he spoke to, what can he do with you and I? What can he use you for right now, today, where you're at? Think about that. If he used one man, one young man, to bring a message to the nations, what can he do for you and I? With through you and I? Is it to bring hope to somebody this week? Is it maybe helping somebody with hope over heroin? Maybe it's Kids Connection. Maybe it's the parking lot, going to nursing home. What can he do with you today? I'm here to tell you, if you're willing, he can use you, because I told you a minute ago, God will equip you to do what he's called you to do. So for 40 years, Jeremiah brings a prophecy to the people. He pleads, he begs with them. He basically, if you've read through Jeremiah, you see where sometimes he just says, would you please just listen to the message God is bringing you? In the midst of that, he finds out he's rejected in chapter 11 by his neighbors. He gets rejected by his family. He even gets rejected by the priest in the temple. The friends reject him. The people he's speaking to, his audience, reject him. And then last but not least, the king totally rejects him. Not just one, but about all the kings did. But I want to focus on one of them here. So Jeremiah's went through this. He's been rejected time and time again by his family. You can see the look on his father's face there when he put the knife down. He says, Father. And he turns and starts prophesying judgment and what was going to happen to his people. He says, God tells him, he says in Jeremiah 36, 2 and 3, take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you until the reign of Josiah until now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I am planning to inflict on them, they will each, notice what he says, each, you might even want to underline it, each will turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. He didn't say the nation, he said maybe each of them will turn. Now think about this. Some scholars said about 14 different times he's given the message to the people. So God says, you write down everything that I've given you to say. Can you imagine the amount of time it takes to write down all the things over the years that Jeremiah has given to the people and write them on a scroll? So he painstakingly takes the scroll and he starts writing everything out. Probably days to write all those things out. It's amazing. And Jeremiah is probably thinking, finally, after all these times I've been rejected by my family, by my friends, by my neighbors, by everybody, finally, maybe, God says, maybe this time my people will listen to me. Now notice, even late into the book of Jeremiah, into late of his prophecy, notice what God says. Perhaps when they hear what I'm about to say to them, they will turn from their ways. And notice what God says. I'll forgive them of their sin. They still had a chance. They still had a chance, if they were to listen to what he was saying and writing down, to be forgiven and be restored right there. But what happens? You would think Jeremiah would be rejected. So he takes and has Baruch, a young man, he says, he was under house arrest at the time. He says, would you take this to the people? This is where God says to take it. So he takes it to the people and the council looks at it. So what do they do? He says, well, the king needs to hear this. So they'll go get the king. So we come to verse 23 of Jeremiah 36. Whenever Jehoiada has read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. So all the work that he had put down, all the things he had done, the king takes and cuts them off a little bit at a time and throws them into the fire. All of his work is burned. How do you think you and I would feel that time? At that time? How do you think you'd feel if finally you thought maybe it was going to change? People were, you maybe feel like giving up, right? Well, there was at one point in time Jeremiah thought about giving up. At one time he even said, it might have been better, Lord, if I hadn't even been born. Last, maybe I should have been born, Lord. Nobody listens to me. I have never done anything wrong, but everybody curses me and rejects me. He got to that point at one time. But here's the good news about Jeremiah and for you and I. And you can call it an epiphany, you can call it a realization, whatever. At some point in time, Jeremiah came to realize that he was doing what God had called him to do. And no matter what was happening, Jeremiah said, "My God is all I need. Because I know I'm doing what God has called me to do, and I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm never going to give up." And that's what me and you have to take part of this from Jeremiah is, no matter what you're doing and where you're at, if you're working for God, don't ever, ever give up. Don't ever give up. I prayed for my grandmother to come to the Lord for years. She didn't accept it until she was 72 years old. What if I'd just given up praying and talking to her when she was 55 or 60? Don't ever give up. Jeremiah says, "I know my God is going to get me through this. I know my God is enough. I know right now." And actually, I was talking to somebody yesterday. He said, Jeremiah was madly in love with God. He had to be madly in love with God to do what he did, to survive and endure what he did. All the times he was in prison, he's beaten, rejected, he had to be in love with God. So if you're right where God wants you to be and you're in love with him, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you're going to persevere and you're going to make it because God is going to be by your side. Because what happens in Jeremiah 20:11, he finally says, he says, "But the Lord," after he complains, he says, "But the Lord is with me." And I want you to underline this. He knew that God was like a mighty warrior. He says, "God is with me. He stands beside me like a mighty warrior." I want you to leave here today with the understanding when God is by your side constantly like a mighty warrior, he is there to protect you because he says, "My persecutors, well, they were going to stumble and they will not prevail. They will fall and they will be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten." He says, "Because I am a success with God because I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm a success because God has called me what to do." And he knew what God was going to get him through. Here's the thing. I thought about this as preparing this message, this teaching. What if I stood here today teaching and giving you this message of Jeremiah? What if I was the only one in this room that believed it? What if some of you, I thought about it, what if some of you started mocking me and talking about me and you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, you've lost it, we don't believe in what you're teaching, and even somebody, last service, one of my friends, one of the few I have, but said he almost got up and walked out to see what I would do, but I said I would have called you out, Russ. Sorry, everybody knows who's nice now. Think about that. What if I was teaching someone and giving a message and nobody was listening and nobody believed it? What if you're the only one in your family that believes what you believe? What if you're the only one where you work, and this may be true for some of you, what if you're the only person that believes the way you believe the way you work? Are you willing to go ahead and persevere and still give that message of hope? And still give that message that God has given you time and time again, even though nobody listens to them? What if you're the only person in this area that believes the way we believe and everybody else doesn't believe and they reject you? Would you still do it? Would you still go forth? But see, the thing you got to understand, Jeremiah come to the realization, they weren't rejecting him. They were rejecting the message that he was bringing them. God's message. They were rejecting God, not him. We don't want to hear about God. We don't hear about where we need to be or what we need to do. So Jeremiah brings about the judgment, and it starts happening. See, when sin enters in, when they start falling away, there are consequences to that. I don't care if you're following idols or if you're in adultery or if you covet, whatever it may be, there are consequences from that because that sin separates us from God. If I allow sin to enter into my life, it's going to separate me from where God wants me to be and what he wants me and needs me to be. That's what happens. And there's consequences to that. So in the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. God gave him a chance, several chances. Please return. Maybe if you see this, this won't have to happen. But they continued to turn from him, and destruction finally come. And the king of Babylon come in after several months, reached the wall, and Jerusalem starts to fall. It starts to tumble down. I'm here to tell you, it wasn't because the king of Babylon had lots of power. Now, it was a powerful army, I will tell you. The reason why this was happening, because God's people failed to follow him. They're the ones that allowed it to happen. Because they allowed the idol worship to come in. They stopped following God and the covenant that he made. They, I want you to understand, they empowered Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to take over the city. So what do I do when I allow sin into my life? When I ignore God? I open the door for things to happen. Bottom line. If I choose to reject God when he's talking to me, I open the door for things to happen in my life. I do. Same happens to us. They ignored God. Time and time again, God sent them a messenger to give them the message. They ignored it. They empowered the king of Babylon to come in and take them into exile. They empowered him. It wasn't what the king of Babylon was doing. It's what they did against God. You got to get that today. And the same in our lives. I empower the devil if I ignore God. Now, destruction comes. But here's the good news. Those who follow God and those who listened to God and did those were spared. I want you to see a short clip here that Jeremiah in the end, when the city is falling down around him, this is what happens to Jeremiah.
Yes. I am Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard of Babylon.
How do you know me?
Every Babylonian soldier knows of Jeremiah.
My king, Nebuchadnezzar, has commanded me to set you free.
Here's what's happening. Nebuchadnezzar's troops had come in and they were sieged in the city. Jeremiah was imprisoned by God's people, so to speak. Imprisoned. But God didn't ignore Jeremiah because Jeremiah had followed God and done exactly what he wanted him to do for 40 years. So here comes the destruction. Get this. God sends Nebuchadnezzar in to take his people into exile, and those very people are the ones that set Jeremiah free. You get that? Jeremiah is imprisoned by God's people because they didn't want to hear him anymore. They wouldn't listen to him. So God says, that's fine. Nebuchadnezzar is going to send people in, and guess what? He spoke to the enemy of his people, and they set Jeremiah free. Judgment was spared. Because he knew that his son, Jeremiah, had done exactly what he wanted to do. So Jeremiah was set free by the very people who were taking his people into exile. Think about that. Not only him, but a short time before this, Jeremiah remembered that there was a gentleman who went on his behalf when he was imprisoned in the courtyard. He went to the king, putting his own life in danger and saying, King, this Jeremiah the prophet, what they've done to him is wrong because he has done nothing wrong. He believed in Jeremiah's message. He believed in Jeremiah's teaching. And most of all, he believed in God. So Jeremiah remembered what he'd done, and God remembered what he'd done for his prophet. So he says in Jeremiah 39:16, go tell Ebed-Melech the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the Lord of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words against the city, words concerning disaster, not prosperity. See, they chose. God's people chose disaster. God's purpose was to prosper them. They chose disaster. At the time, they will be fulfilled. But he goes on to tell him in the next two verses, but I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hands of those who fear. I will save you and will not fall, but you will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life. Okay, if you get nothing else I've said so far, please get these last few words. Underline them, highlight them, do whatever you need. Why was he spared? Why did God come and save his life? He says, because you trust in me, declares the Lord. You trusted in me, so now I will set you free. They escaped the judgment. Why? Because they put their trust in God. They trusted God. Jeremiah trusted God, and he knew that his God was enough. And he been trusted because he said, Jeremiah is doing the right thing. Please, King, you need to take him. And Jeremiah was released at that time from where he was being held. We escape that judgment. We don't have to go to the temple and sacrifice an animal. You and I escape the judgment because Jesus came to this earth and paid the price for you and I. That's how we escape it. It's through Jesus. Jesus, the scripture tells you, sets us free. We have freedom today. For those who have accepted, if you haven't, I pray that you do that. That message of hope that's given through Jesus, that message that's going to be given this week to the Hope Over Heroin, that message of hope through Jesus that changes lives. Now think back to the box I had you write at the beginning of this teaching. I said, write down some things that you thought someone in America needed to be successful with. And I tried to put some people up there to try to get you to think of America and what Americans, most Americans would think and not the right thing. I tried to get you to think the wrong thing. And you may have wrote down some things like, I don't know, fame, fortune, whatever it may be. I'm here to tell you today that Bill Gates was successful because why? Because inventor of Microsoft, runs on how many computers in the world? Warren Buffett was successful because he knew how to invest with his money, how to make money. Michael Jordan was successful because he had an extraordinary talent to play a game. But Mother Teresa and Corrie Ten Boom were successful because they did two things. You need two things to be successful with God. Number one is have faith. You have to have faith. If you got faith in God, in His Word, and then be obedient to that faith, that's all you need to be successful with God. And here's the thing, it's the same for all of us. What made Bill Gates successful was not the same thing that made Michael Jordan successful. They had two different sets of skills. Bill Gates would not have been successful in the NBA, I guarantee you that. And Michael Jordan probably wouldn't have been successful if he was in the world in Bill Gates' world. But here's the good news for you and I, friends. If we have faith and believe in that faith and obedient to that faith, you and I can be successful. It's the same for all of us. And that's what Mother Teresa and Corrie Ten, they had a faith to touch and believe that God can move, use them to touch lives. And they were obedient to that. I didn't share this first, I'll share it with you right now. Mother Teresa was so obedient to her cause that when she brought shoes in for the orphanage, for the children, she would be the last to pick the shoes out because she wanted her children to get the shoe that closestly fit them, and she would take what was left over. When they buried her, her feet were literally deformed because she would always wear the ones that didn't fit her because she wanted the kids to have what fit them. That's obedience. That's sacrifice. That's believing the cause. You got to know that you're a success with God. With God, you're a success. Now, there's going to be some pictures come up here in a moment. And these are people you would probably recognize that right here that serve at GNG. I want you to know there are successful people all around you. You may not never see them in the news or see them in the paper or see them on ESPN, but I'm telling you right now, there are people here that are giants in the faith because why? There are people here that go to the prison and visit people in prison. There are people here that go to the nursing home. There are people here that go walk pets or take pets to the nursing home to help people out. There are people that pick up trash. There are people that come in and give time to the set design which you see behind us every week. I'm here to tell you, in God's eyes, these are successful people. These are people who are giants in the faith because they do what God's called them to do. whether it be in a parking lot or making sure you have a hot cup of coffee or whatever it may be. They're giants in the faith. And maybe some of you might see yourself up there. I'm here to tell you, giants, they're successful because they're doing what God's called them to do, serving where they want to. I talked to a lady who comes up here. She takes her day off. She comes up here to clean during the week. She gets a joy out of cleaning toilets. So when you and I come here on Sundays, guess what? We have a clean facility. To me, she's a hero. She's a success. God's called you. This is what I'm called to do. I think about that. You don't have to teach the nations to be a success with God. It can be right where you're at right now, touching somebody's life to be a success. Now, if you look at Jeremiah, if you look from the world's view, Jeremiah was not a success. And there are very few people ever listened to him. But I'm here to tell you, in God's eyes, he did exactly what God called him to do and stuck with it for 40 years. I'm here to tell you, you want hope? You can find hope because trusting in God leads to having hope in God. So when you serve and learn to trust God where you're at, it leads to hope. And the more you learn to trust Him, the more hope you're going to have. Enough so that you're going to start changing the lives around you. Even if you're the only person where you work or where you go in your family, if you're the only person, there's hope that somebody's going to hear your message eventually and what you got to say. Now let's put this all in perspective, because if we can't put this into practice, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good, does it? Trust me, as an algebra teacher for 30 years, I had to answer that question every day. When am I ever going to use this stuff? You know? Well, sometimes you don't, I'll be honest with you. Sorry if there's any teachers out here. Number one, putting Jeremiah into practice. Except God has a purpose for me. Right now where you're sitting, you've got to accept that God has a purpose for you. And if you've never accepted this faith yet that we're talking about, understand God still has a purpose for you. You've got to accept Him through Jesus, and you can find that purpose. And for those of you to believe, understand, if you're sitting here today and you don't know what that purpose is, I'm asking you and begging you, kind of like Jeremiah, to spend time in the Word and prayer and find what that purpose is. Because God has a purpose for each and every one of us. There's lives out there that we can touch and make a difference in, to bring hope to. Number two, accept my role in God's plan. Understand, you have a role in God's plan. God has a role for you to fit in this. What if we just took one of these ministries away that here on Sunday morning, just say, we don't need this, don't come today. Then it's going to be a debacle on Sunday mornings because every ministry is needed that takes place here. Whether it be in Kids Connection, parking lot, the cafe, greeters, whoever it may be, whatever you're doing, the band, whatever, everyone needs to do their part, take their role in the plan in order for it to be a success. Take away the coffee and donuts one Sunday and see what happens. Some of us would be like, where is my coffee? Remember what Jeremiah says? But the Lord stands beside me like a mighty warrior. Because if you accept your plan, He's going to see you through that. Memorize that verse this week if you would remember. JD asked you to memorize a couple of verses last week. I would ask you to memorize, but the Lord stands beside me like a mighty warrior. No matter where you go, what you do, God is beside you. If He's called you, He's going to be there. He'll never leave you. Number three, be the voice for God in somebody's life. Be the voice for God in somebody's life. How many people can you think of you know right now that need to hear the hope that you have to share? Think about that. In your family, your friends, your coworkers, how many know? Remember Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. So once you start sharing that faith and you start being the voice of God, He'll start giving you more and it's going to increase and you're going to get more joy. You're going to have more hope. It kind of multiplies in your life. Mother Teresa and Corrie ten Boom started with one. They started with one, then it went to two, and then to three. And in Mother Teresa's case, it turned into tens and hundreds of thousands worldwide. Number four, I'm here to tell you, with God, there's always hope. There's always hope with God. They had hope even down to the last second. And they rejected him once again, and they suffered the consequences. But there's always hope, because remember, he did said, I'm going to restore you because I want you to prosper. He wants that for each and every one of us. So my question for you today, as we get ready to close this up, is this. Do you see your purpose? Do you see your purpose with God? If you don't, once again, I pray that you seek him out through the word and through prayer and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I'm here to tell you right now, he's not probably going to call you out to speak to the nations, but he may have a purpose for you with your neighbor to fulfill ministry here, to help somebody out. Maybe to join a life group, whatever it may be, to be part of something. Because what happened with Jeremiah, when Jeremiah got the point of his realization, he knew that all he had was God, but he was okay with that because God is all he wanted and needed at that time. So the question I'll leave with you today is this. Is God enough? Is he? I got to ask myself that same question. Is he enough, or do I rely upon somebody else or some other thing? My question to you today is this. Is God enough? Is he enough for you and enough for me to get me where he wants me to be, to bring hope to people who need hope, to serve people who need being served? Is God enough? Father, we thank you for this day. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for men like Jeremiah and Isaiah we studied last week, people who took a stand for you, who heeded the call, who had faith and were obedient to that faith, who through all the rejections and everything said, you know what, God, you're enough. You're all I need. And I'm going to proclaim this message to the people in this nation I love so much. I'm never going to give up. I'm going to bring hope to them. So, Father, today, may we leave here today knowing that we are a success with you. If we have faith in you and are obedient to your word, we shall leave here today at success. And I pray, Lord, and I challenge everybody here that's hearing my voice today that they will go forth and be the voice, your voice, into somebody's life that needs hope. May we make a difference this week, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this lesson from Good News Gathering. For more information, visit www.goodnewsgathering.org or check us out on Facebook.